seemed distracted, glancing around the room, as if looking for something he may have misplaced.
I could smell you the second I walked inside.
He crouched down to her height, carelessly stepping in blood. The child's teeth chattered with pure fear. Beg, a voice ordered. Beg him. But her mouth wouldn't open.
You up there?
Someone yelled from the first floor, and the girl jerked. She tried to be brave, but tears began streaming down her face. The man noticed, and his expression became displeased, just like mothers had when the girl used to complain about their new life. Weak. Crybaby. Selfish. He reached for her with a sigh, and she screwed her eyes shut. In the riot of her heartbeat, she wished only for the end to be quick. Let it be quick. It can be painful as long as it's quick. But then a thumb gently wiped tears from her face, and her eyes sprang open.
Hey!
Another voice traveled up the stairs, closer this time.
Anything you need?
The man's dark eyes held hers. He sighed again.
Call the social worker. Shit. How many this time? One.
The man's jaw ticked as his finger did one last pass.
Don't cry. Or do, if you like. But it's better this way. I sincerely hope that this will be the worst day of your life.
His lips curved in a small smile.
When's the last time you ate?
She blinked, taken aback by the change of topic. Truth was, she couldn't remember. Yesterday? 2 days ago?
Come on, let's get you something warm.
He held out his arms, and since the child couldn't avoid the sticky green puddle on her own, she let him pick her up, not sure why she was allowing a murderer to carry her downstairs. Maybe he helped Mother, too, she thought, knowing that the man was strong enough for the task. Yes, he certainly had. She was sure that they were going to her right now. So she buried her face in the stranger's neck and let his slow heartbeat lull her to calm. And since she was able to, she started to count to 1,000 once more. Chapter 1.
She tore him apart and remade him. It took her less than a second.
Present day. If such a thing as an ideal night to die existed, it would not be this one. There's so much wrong with it. I could bitch about the recent rainstorm, the weak garlic clove-sized moon, the uncharged phone sitting on my nightstand. The main issue, though, is that I'm wearing no more than 2 items of clothing, undies and a camisole. They were both perfectly adequate underneath my fluffy comforter. Unfortunately, I left that back at the cabin. When I woke up at 1 a.m. to the realization that someone was breaking in. It's fall, in a place that a year or so ago, back when I still foolishly believed I was human, I would have called Oregon. Now that my wear genes are taking over, stuff like cartography and state lines have become comically trivial. But the crux of the matter remains. November in the Northwest is cold, and I'm not dressed appropriately. The goddamn timing, I mouth to myself, darting behind the gnarly trunk of a Douglas fir. Chest heaving, I stare down at my very human-shaped hand. I visualize the change, willing my bitten to the quick nails to turn into claws. Shift into a wolf, Serena. Shift into a fucking wolf, or I swear to God that nothing. My body refuses to be shamed into compliance. I glance up at the sky, but the much-publicized pull of the moon offers only the most apathetic of tugs. With a muted groan, I resume my sprint through the forest, bare feet slipping through fresh mud. A dozen little cuts crisscross my soles and shins. The longer I run, the fainter my hope that the soil will conceal the iron scent of my blood. And I've been running for a while. The intruder is tracking me, gaining ground.